don't want to forget. And I meant to say something earlier, but I did forget, see? But just want to welcome our guest soprano for the day, Betty Turner, who did such a beautiful rendition of Ave Maria, and she will be leading Taste and See during, she will be singing for us Taste and See during our communion this morning as well. So we're thankful to have you here with us, Betty. Let us pray. God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your word that never changes, yet always inspires in new ways through the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray today that you would speak to us through your word, that you would give us a message that would bring life to us, that would bring hope, that would bring a purpose, Lord. We pray that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're now in a season of Easter. As resurrection people, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, both body and spirit, his whole being resurrected. And we celebrated that last week, of course. And we just heard the story a little while ago now of Jesus appearing before the disciples on that Easter evening, as told in the Gospel of John. You know, just prior to this, Peter and John had run ahead to the tomb. And they had looked in, and then they came back to the disciples. But even with the empty tomb being there, and of course, the women's stories that were told of what had happened, and Mary Magdalene experiencing Jesus firsthand and telling them of this, here we have the disciples in a room, still scared, locked away. No matter what they had heard, they were still scared, because they had yet to experience the risen Jesus. So they shut the doors, they locked the doors to the upper room where they were, and as they waited to be arrested or waited to be killed by the Jewish leaders and authorities in charge. And so here it is, in the state of fear that they are all in, that Jesus appears to his disciples behind locked doors, not getting stuck at the door as I did, right? But he greets them behind these locked doors, in their fear, with peace be with you. How profound and how simple. And afterwards, after he greets them, he shows them his sides, and they, having seen him, having experienced him, marveled in the wounds and in the risen Savior standing before them. And so what do? They praise him. And Jesus again says this time, peace be with you. But then he adds some things in verse 21. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And what does he do next in 22? He says, he breathes on them and he tells them, receive the Holy Spirit. He gives them the Holy Spirit, saying to them, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, what's that all about? This isn't Pentecost, right? Where the fire of the Spirit is poured out on them after Jesus' ascension. And yet, here Jesus does a very Pentecostal thing, right? I don't know if that's a word or not. I just used it. But he does this here, now, on this Resurrection Sunday. He gives them the Holy Spirit and empowers them to continue his mission, which, of course, is God's mission in the world, forgiving the sins of people, healing people, loving people, proclaiming his good news to the world. This isn't quite the commissioning of the disciples that they receive in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But the point comes across here, the same point, and that is to continue on. Continue what he has been doing. What Jesus has been doing. You're to do it now, is what he says. And the only way that they can do it is because Jesus has taught them how to do it. He has died for them to see it and has been resurrected for them and for all so that they might believe in all that he taught and all that he stood for. and believe in him. And this they know because he stands before them now so that they might believe. But blessed are those, he says later, who don't see and still believe. And so all of this is to say, to remind us, brothers and sisters, to remind us that the church, the same church that we are a part of here at Orms, the United Methodist Church, and the Universal Church or Catholic Church, the church is the same church that began on that Easter Sunday long ago. The church was not merely born out of people. It was not through us. It was not thought up as simply some good idea of a chosen few that made it come to fruition. But Jesus very literally breathed life into it on that Sunday from his resurrected body in the same way that God, the Father, breathed life into Adam back in Genesis chapter 1. In the same way that Adam, the first man, received life from God in the beginning, the church received life directly from the life giver in Christ in a new beginning for the world, for all of creation. And our life as the church has a purpose. It is to consider purpose.
Concern with what we might say it wrong, or not look good, or not be liked. To just simply love them and to show them Christ's love for them. I think sometimes we get in God's way. We don't live like we have a purpose. We live like we are the purpose. And in order for God's purpose, which again is the spreading of this good news of God's gracious love for all to be proclaimed and to be fulfilled, we have to begin to live more like the resurrected Christians that we are called to be. Like we really know that Jesus has breathed the Spirit of God into our lives. Living like the church isn't just a building or merely an institution, but that it is the very body of Christ in the world. So that we can be a sacrament for the world. Where the outward symbol of the church in the buildings and in the institution is realized through the inward spirit of love and grace that exists within its body. That its material existence would exemplify its spiritual grace-filled life. Can we do that? Can we really do this? Can we really be that? The answer is yes, we can. And it's also an imperative that we need to. Because if we're to be the church, Christ's bride, we need to stop being about church and start being about his purpose. His purpose. Forgiving and retaining of sins. Preaching the good news so that blessings can be had by more of those that have not seen and yet have come to believe. But in order for that to happen, we have to get out of his way. We have to let God use us. In the same Holy Spirit that Christ breathed on to the 11, he breathes into us today and commissions us through that Spirit to do his kingdom work. We have a purpose, and it is firmly rooted in Christ's call. God loves you. Amen. God loves you enough to send his Son to teach, to live, to die, and be resurrected so that you and all might believe. This isn't just for you, but for all to hear. This good news is for all to hear. And it's our purpose to share it with others. And you can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do that. Because he meets us all like he met Thomas. Right where Thomas needed him, Jesus met him. And Christ will do the same for us. My prayer is that for you and I, that we would trust more today, so that we might be a purposeful people, rooted in a call to mission and ministry, so that all might know the love of God and Jesus Christ for their lives, through the church, the same one that he breathed life into. He breathes life into us today as well. Amen.